This is the Old Testament reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I'll pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." Here ends the text. It is wrong to think that the Seder of our times helps us understand the Lord's Supper. We have no reason to believe that the prayers and ceremonies were the same in Jesus' time. Erev Hashem, a converted Jew of the 19th century, says, "The present Passover liturgy contains comparatively very few relics from the New Testament times. Even the Old Testament Passover itself is only a type of the Lord's Supper. That means the Lord's Supper explains Passover, just as baptism explains the crossing of the Red Sea and the flood. However, just as a secular myth or movie can pop into focus a Christian truth that you might have gotten too used to, so an Old Testament type can pop into focus a New Testament reality. So when it comes to appreciating the Lord's Supper, don't pass over Passover. Think of the Passover lamb to recall the pathos of the Lord's Supper. Exodus is clear. A year-old lamb was to be selected 4 days before Passover. Erev Hashem says the lamb was tethered in a prominent place so the whole family would be reminded of the coming sacrifice. We also know from Exodus, Passover was a family event. You can bet kids went to pick up the Passover lamb as they do our Christmas tree. You can bet those kids named that cute little lamb, petted that cute little lamb, cuddled that cute little lamb, even as mom tried to tell them, "Don't get too attached." Yet you know they did. Even the father did, just a little. And as this was the only sacrifice a priest did not do, the father did, I'm sure he winced a little as he slit the throat of that one-year-old lamb. That's touching. But we remained unmoved as we sing, "A lamb goes on complaining forth." We're touched by the father untying the lamb with the children wide-eyed and teary watching. We're moved by the father's calloused hands taking the rope, and we are bothered by the slight catch in his voice when he says, "Come on now." We can't even bear to think of the father using his left hand to gently lift the little lamb's head as his right hand uses a knife to slit its throat. What must he be thinking as the lifeblood of that lamb fills the basin? All of that happened because one day God the Father would sacrifice his only beloved son for his family, mankind. The lamb had to be male because God's sacrifice would be. The lamb had to be without blemish because God's sacrifice would be. The lamb had to be tender and dear to the Father because God's sacrifice would be. The lamb had to be killed because God's sacrifice would be. Think of that little lamb tied up for 4 days, fed for 4 days, loved on for 4 days, and then sacrificed to provide shelter from God's wrath and food for sinners. Don't pass over Passover. Let its pathos touch your Lord's Supper. Think of the blood of Passover to pop into focus the blood of the Lord's Supper. Outside of those who still clean wild animals, our world has lost touch with the connection between blood and survival. You don't get beef, pork, fish, or poultry without shedding an animal's blood. A pastor I know took his young son dove hunting. As he popped the head off the dove to kill it quickly, the dove, as usual, bled profusely. He explained to his little son that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness, but that the blood of a dove wouldn't do that. Only the blood of God could, and God only has blood in his Son, the man Jesus. There's an emphasis in Exodus 12 on shedding the lamb's blood. God commands the Passover lamb be slaughtered in such a way that the blood flows freely. The Hebrew uses shakakath, which means to slaughter in such a way that from the stretched out and extended body, the blood would flow forth abundantly. And Exodus wants you to save that blood. How else are you going to be able to paint it on the sides and tops of the door frames of your house if you don't save it? It's amazing to me how fast blood soaks into the ground, where on the same ground water puddles, blood does not. The Passover lamb was made to bleed profusely, and that blood was caught, it was saved, it was used. It was precious. The only doors the destroyer passed over were doors painted with the blood of the Passover lamb. No blood, no passing over. The angel of death flew into your home and killed the firstborn of not just man, but beast. Don't you wince at the thought of a dog's yelp or a cat's howl, let alone a firstborn child's cry? Passover blood pops into focus the blood of Jesus. The Romans perfected crucifixion so that it was essentially bloodless. They placed the nails so as not to puncture major arteries. They didn't want their victims bleeding out quickly, but suffering for days. The blood lost by the crucified was from the whipping that preceded it. Yet in the words of institution, Jesus says his blood is poured out for you. Jesus is highlighting the power, not the amount. A drop of God's blood has more power, more forgiveness, more life, more salvation than all the blood of beasts. A drop of God's blood cries out, "Forgive, forgive," louder and longer than Abel's blood or any other innocent blood shed by man cries out, "Avenge, avenge." Think how precious the blood of that Passover lamb was. The father knew that as much as his kids, and he himself loved that little lamb. He needed its blood. So he arranges to catch it. Perhaps his wife or an older son holds the basin. Careful now, don't spill it. And then he takes the hyssop branch and dips it in the still warm blood and puts it on the tops and the side of his door. The Hebrew says he is to touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood which is in the basin. Would you just touch the door? I wouldn't. I'd paint that door. I'd slather that door with the blood. As Jesus poured out his blood, I would pour it on the door. Don't pass over this connection. The Passover lamb's blood was caught in a basin because Jesus' blood would be caught in a chalice, caught in a font, caught in the absolution. Now if the type was so powerful that just a touch of it could cause the destroyer to pass over your home, how much more powerful the reality. If God attached the promise to pass over a life to the blood of a lamb,
How much greater promises does he attach to the blood of his son? Do you think that there is some sin, some shame, some guilt so terrible that the blood of Jesus is not thick and rich enough to cover it? Do you think the Lord wanted people with the blood of the Passover lamb on their doors, inside those doors, cowering, afraid that it somehow might not work? He wanted them confident. He wanted them certain that blood would. How much more you who have his son's blood on you in your baptism, over you in absolution, and in you by Holy Communion. Don't pass over Passover. Think of the lamb, think of the blood, and think of the meal to pop into focus this meal. The Passover was only for those in fellowship with the Old Testament church. Read your Bibles. Think of how many times the Lord admonished, commanded, ordered his church to be kind to strangers because they were once strangers in Egypt. Yet kindness, being nice, being friendly, does not rule this meal. Exodus 12:43 says, "No stranger shall eat of it." If God was that serious about the type, how much more the reality? And the first Lord's Supper bears this point out. Look whom Jesus considered a stranger in the first Lord's Supper. His mother wasn't there. His brothers or sisters were not there. Only those he had instructed and who had followed him for the past 3 years were there. See how the church was instructed to eat the Passover meal. You are to eat it with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. A type has some things in common with the reality, but the reality always surpasses it. We're to eat the Lord's Supper as ready to go. We have no intention of staying in this land of Egypt. We're eager to go to the promised land. What does our alternate Thanksgiving say? What Paul said in the epistle reading. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We eat and drink this meal with one eye on our Lord returning to get us out of this Egypt. Yet we don't eat and drink the reality of Jesus' body and blood in haste. We partake of the spirit of a 1723 liturgy. That liturgy says, "Behold the blood of Christ poured out for thee and for me and for all of us. Drink ye all this, drink large drops of the love of Christ." But we do take this Passover, but we do take it as they took the Passover for a journey. Communion is viaticum. Roman Catholics say viaticum is communion given to someone expected to die. Historically, the viaticum was the 75 denarii signing bonus recruits in the Roman army received. A bonus is to be enjoyed here and now, leisurely. We eat communion then in the same way we pray for bread in the Lord's Supper, as bread for today and as bread for tomorrow. The reality of the Lord's Supper exceeds the type Passover. But we run into a problem. Exodus 12:14 calls it a lasting ordinance. But this translation softens the text. Passover is really an ordinance forever, as the RSV has. The New King James has an everlasting ordinance. New American Standard has a permanent ordinance. ESV has a statute forever. So, should we then celebrate Passover? No. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he has the authority to change forever. The one who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end in flesh and blood, has authority to alter forever for flesh and blood. And he did. The words of institution make a point of saying it was after supper, after Passover, that the Lord gave us his supper. The Orthodox use only leavened bread in communion to show that the Lord's Supper is in no way a continuation of Passover. Passover, like all the Old Testament law, is a shadow, as Paul calls it in Colossians. The reality is Christ, When reality comes, shadows disappear. Think of old school typewriters. The instant the reality, which is the metal letter, strikes the page, at that instant you see nothing but the metal letter. The type is left behind on the page, and left behind is the point. It points to the reality of the metal letter, but it's left behind. It's not the real deal, only an image. Don't Passover. The type can pop the reality into focus, but don't pass over the fact Passover is over and something better is here. The eternal Lamb of God to eat for life and salvation, not an earthly lamb, is here. The blood of God that sins may be forgiven completely, not the blood of a lamb that sinners may be passed over for now. Amen. We can